Hi, my name's Sophia, and I am not the perfect daughter. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Life on Audio. I think the little entrance that I included in here gives you an idea as to what we're talking about today. It literally sounded like my TikTok intros. I feel like all of my TikTok videos at this point have some sort of hook. I just like do this automatically, okay? Like, I can't lie. A couple months ago, I definitely saw some TikToks that were like, you need to hook your audience. Like, you need a hook. And so I just started like automatically producing hooks. Whenever I think of a video idea, I first think of like how I'm going to start it. And then I think about what I'm actually going to talk about in that video. And so now I just like automatically do it. So when I was thinking of this podcast episode, the first thing I thought was, oh my God, hi, my name's Sophia. I'm not the perfect daughter. And then I was like, okay, but that's not the way I usually do my podcast episodes. But I was like, I need to do it. I just need to do it because that's just my thing now. My thing is just like starting with this like little intro hook thing and then actually getting into the subject. And I guess I am bringing that to my podcast now too. In a way, everything is like interchangeable at this point. I feel like most people that do listen to my podcast at this point know me from TikTok and probably watch my TikToks too. So it's like, you know, like in my mind, I still think that everything's kind of separate. I know my YouTube is probably still very separate from everything else, but like in my mind, I'm like, oh, everything is separate. So it's like people who listen to my podcast aren't the same people watching my TikToks and stuff like that. But at this point, I don't think that's actually the case anymore. And I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, like, it's really cool that people have like come over and like enjoy hearing what I have to say enough to like want to see what else I have to say. Like, that's obviously so cool. But I will say the one part of it that scares me a little bit is that, as I've always said, my podcast is my safe place. And it's kind of the place where I just like talk about how I'm feeling in the moment and all that. And with TikTok, I think initially I was doing that. But then once I started getting more and more like hate comments or just weird comments that didn't make me feel good, I started to censor myself more and more. And I cannot lie, I have started to see myself do that on here too, because I think I just like as a whole have started censoring myself when I like record stuff. But I still want to keep this as my safe place. And like, there is always that fear that someone who like hated on me on TikTok is going to come over here and then like hate on me more. But I guess if you're doing that, then you're just a fan. So thanks for that. Then I have fans. And that's also really cool, because that means I'm a public figure enough to have fans. And I feel like having fans is, well, take it as you will, but I don't know, I'll take it. But anyways, yeah, I go back and forth about how I feel about that, because like obviously I love the idea of like, especially because a lot of people at this point, like if they reach out to me and they're like, oh, I like your podcast, they also will be like, I just love your content as a whole, or like, I love your podcast and your TikTok. So I know that they came from TikTok. Again, I can just assume at this point that most people have come from there. But like when I started off, I don't think that most people that listen to my podcast, I actually don't even know who was listening to my podcast, but I don't think most people who were listening to my podcast were from TikTok itself. It was more like a more varied group. Again, no clue who was listening to my podcast at the beginning, because now that I think about it, I'm like, it either had to be people who followed me on Instagram, people who followed me on TikTok, although I didn't talk too much about the fact that I had a podcast on TikTok when I first started it, and then maybe YouTube, but I honestly don't know about that one. And that's the only way people could have found me at the beginning, I think. I guess also if you listen to my podcast before this one, then I'm sure like some people came over, but I don't think it was a lot of people, you know? So no clue. Anyways, I'm completing my first week of quote unquote post-grad. It's not actually a week. Today's Friday. So if you think of the week as like Monday to Friday and then like the weekend, I guess like academic, I don't know. I'm still on that, I guess. I don't know. But I guess this week is coming to a close, and it's making me realize that I have a lot less time than I thought I would have to just like hang around and chill. Like, I feel like at the beginning of this week, I was like, oh my gosh, I have this whole long period ahead of me and I have to figure out what I'm going to do. And I have to, I don't know, like I was just like kind of stressed about, well, okay, this might have been actually before I left for Germany. I feel like since I have come back from Germany, I've been at peace and the feeling has continued. So I did record the podcast episode that came out last week on Tuesday. And you can definitely tell that I'm wary as to whether I'm going to continue feeling the way that I feel. And honestly, yeah, I mean, I felt decently good. Sure, it's not, I've been better. I think I was better when I was in Germany, but so far so good. We're like good. I'm not like, I don't feel like I'm being completely pulled back. back. And that's good. I think we're moving forward. I think I can actually like safely say that something good is coming out of this. But yeah, I don't know. I think I thought that I was going to have a lot more time here before I went back to LA. I don't know if I've explained the situation. I think I should explain it. I know I talked a little bit about it like in my post-grad plans, but I don't know if I gave like a specific timeline. And I think that's important for you guys to understand kind of what's going on. Because also I feel like every time I have a conversation with someone, it gets so complicated because it's like, I'm going to be here, but then I'm going to be there. And then I'm going to be here. And it's like, at this point, like the next couple months in my life, it's like, I'm not really going to be stationary in one place, even though it may feel like I'm stationary in one place for some time, but it's like, it's not longer than a couple of weeks. And yeah. So for reference, I am here currently at home. Then at the end of April, I'm going back to LA. I'm not going to be there for more than a couple of days. And then I'm going to Hawaii with some of my two closest UCLA friends, the ones that I always mention. I'm always mentioning the same people. Like there's no one new in my life. We're going to Hawaii for a couple of days. And then after that, my plan is to go directly from Hawaii to my next location in terms of traveling. So I'm kind of using May as my travel era moment month. And I want to do Japan and Australia. Ask me whether I've planned that. Ask me whether I planned that. Okay. It's literally less than a month away. No, I haven't planned it, but I'm working on it. You know, like I have ideas for dates and then where I would go in each country. And that's about it. Why is planning so much work? Like I know that if I want to do this, I have to put in the work, but I think part of me is also just like super psyched out because I will be solo traveling. And that is like a huge step. And also the countries that I've chosen to go to are countries that never were like on my comfort radar. You know, when you think of traveling, you have those destinations that you really want to go to, but are like super out of your comfort bubble or comfort zone. And you're like, oh, well, maybe I do that with friends one day, or maybe I do that when I'm a lot older and wiser, or like maybe I do that when I'm married. And then you have like other locations where you're like, oh, you know, I think I could do that now. I think I could do that by myself, or I think I could do that when I'm young. Like, can't lie. Australia seems a little bit more comfortable just because like no language barrier, even though I don't know about the accents, but it feels a little bit more comfortable than Japan. Japan is just like completely out of my comfort zone, okay? Because I've never really traveled in that part of the world before. The closest thing I've done is India. And every time I go to India, it's like I have family members. Like it's a very sheltered experience. It's not like you're going out in the world and experiencing it on your own. Like there's always going to be someone with you who speaks the language, who knows the place, who knows how to get around the whole thing. And I'm not going to have that if I'm going to go to Japan. But for some reason, I don't know what happened, but a while back, I just like set my sights on Japan. I literally think, actually, I probably talked about this in a podcast episode, but I have no clue which one it was. But I think it was like during winter break, my dad was like, yeah, well, if you decide to graduate early, you can use that extra time to travel. And I was like, ooh, you are kind of bribing me into graduating early. No, I was like, that's definitely an incentive because yes, like, do I want to graduate early? Absolutely. I want to get out of here. I've been wanting to get out of here. Okay. Like I've been dangling by a thread, but also I was like, okay, this is actually like a good reason. Like I will take it. If I can travel, I will take it. So when he said that, I think I randomly was like, oh, I could go to Japan. And he was like, yeah, you could go to Japan. And I was like, oh, I could go to Japan. And since then it stuck. I have not changed my mind on this. The reality is like, there's so many other places I could go to. And for some reason, I've decided I'm going to Japan and Australia. Because then I added Australia later on. I was like, okay, wait, if I'm going to that area of the world, I feel like I need to add something else. And now that I'm really thinking about it, I'm like, Sophia, you could also go other places like Europe. I could do a Europe trip. But I'm like, at this point, I'm like, I don't know because I want to move to Europe. And if I move to Europe, then I can travel leisurely, which is what I actually would, I think, rather do. I don't know how I feel about traveling Europe in like a short period of time and trying to just like capture all of it in that trip, which obviously like you don't have to do, but like if I was going to do a Europe trip, it would be like try and cover as much ground in as short period of time. I don't know. Obviously you guys will know whether I'm traveling or not traveling. Also, if I am traveling, there is a high likelihood that I'm going to have to just like plan all of my podcast episodes beforehand and schedule them before I start traveling. So you'll get like pre-recorded podcast episodes. And then when I get back, I can do like a couple of episodes that are like specific on my travel experiences. But anyways, by the end of May, I hope to be back in LA. That's the plan. I don't have anything set in stone. And then graduation is in the middle of June. So I'll be in LA for like 3 weeks. max, which is actually kind of crazy. I don't know this little bit of whirlwind. I don't think I really thought this through until like now, where I'm like, wait, time actually isn't as expansive as I thought it was. So yeah. And then after that, I will be moving home for good. And after that, I have zero clue as to what comes next. I have a feeling it might just be like, I'm just at home for the entire summer. And honestly, I might be good with that because like I said, I want to pursue my passion projects. And yes, I've been working on some of them, but it's like, you need the time to do it. And if I'm like moving around constantly, I don't have the time to do it. So anyways, but I still have a couple weeks of being home. And obviously, hopefully I will start gaining some leads on the different, you know, passion projects that I keep saying I want to work on. Like, for example, like I haven't started painting yet, and that's something that I really want to get to. But my plan is, I have the canvases. My plan is to try and go to Michael's this weekend and get some paint because I don't think I have like all the paints that I need. And then next week I can start focusing on that because I do realize it was like, I do think I need to start like having things to do. I mean, okay, this is going to sound insane, but actually creating content takes a lot more time than you would think it does. But I don't know whether I'm just like spending too much time on it. I really appreciate having that time because I remember when I was still in school and I was trying to like take content creation seriously, like the past couple of months, I was so insanely overwhelmed because it was so difficult to balance school and content creation because it does take quite a bit of time each day if you're going to be producing like 5 TikToks, especially if it's like 5 talking TikToks or like even just like 3 talking TikToks. You need at least an hour to stand in front of your phone and get those like 3 talking TikToks out. It takes a long time. I know that sounds insane, but it takes a long time. And then you also obviously have to edit it afterwards, which like, again, none of this should take that much time, but it does for some reason. You have to get the different takes and then you have to edit it together and then you have to come up with the caption. And this sounds so stupid, but this is like literally what I'm doing, and it's actually a real thing. I mean, I know people get paid for it. I'm not getting paid for it, but maybe one day I will. But that's the thing. It's like, it does take a lot more time than you think it would. So it actually takes up quite a bit of my day. And that's actually why I'm doing this episode today, because it kind of just intertwines. So maybe let me hold that. Let me hold all those thoughts and let me start just like introducing the episode and talking about it. So as I said, I am not the perfect daughter. Here's the thing. When I mean I am not the perfect daughter, I'm saying this very subjectively. I do not think that my parents think this way of me. I think that my parents have a lot of pride for me, even if they don't necessarily share it outward. I think they also have a lot of understanding for me, as in they understand where I am in at life and they support me. They definitely support me, because obviously if my parents didn't support me, they would be like, you're on your own, girly pops, like go figure it out. You know, you can't like live with us. You can't kind of live off of us for a time being. Not that I think this is a forever thing, but at least for like the next little bit, they obviously would just be like, you have to get a job. And I would be like, done. You said it, so I'm gonna go do it. Like if my parents were to sit me down right now and say, you need to get a job by Monday, I would be on it, okay? And I would be looking for a job that starts Monday. But that's actually getting into a little bit of like what this topic's about too. But obviously my parents are supportive and I think they understand. And when I talk about my parents, I usually am specifically talking about my dad, because my dad is just, he's my dad. My mom is a lot more outwardly supportive. My dad is not as outwardly supportive. It doesn't mean that he doesn't support me. It's just that he will say these things and you're like, okay, what does that mean? It's the same way that my dad doesn't really show a lot of affection, whereas like my mom does show affection outwardly. My dad is just like Indian father who doesn't share feelings outwards. I don't know if that's all Indian fathers, but it's definitely my Indian father. So like he's gonna probably say more like critical things. I don't know, like criticizing, like critical things instead of like heartfelt things. Okay. Like it's going to take him a lot more to give me the heartfelt messages than to give me the like, let's be honest messages. You know, I don't know if that makes sense. I feel like people with Asian parents, and I'm sure there's some other like groups, like cultural groups that also like subscribe to this kind of mentality, will understand what I'm talking about once I get into this episode, because it very much does have to do with like culture and education. So also parents who like very much value education. And I feel like Asian parents are usually, that's their thing. But I'm sure that there are other like groups of parents out there that also feel the same way about education. I'm just not sure who they are, you know, so I can't really like, I can't give you the whole list. But like, I know for a fact that there are probably some people out there with Asian parents who are going to understand exactly what I'm talking about as I share my experience with this, and hopefully other people understand as well. So yeah, I've been getting some mixed messages, but I know like it's not, I know it's not like actual mixed messages, but it's just the way that my dad says it that I'm like, so what do you mean by that? Like, do you want me to go figure out my life? But for the most part, I think the other day, for example, oh my God, what did he say? Oh, I think it was even this morning or yesterday. I don't know. He was like, you know, once you get on the treadmill, like you can't get off. So you have to decide whether you want to get on the treadmill or not. And I was like, okay. And he was like, but you know, if you don't know if you want to get on the treadmill, then don't get on the treadmill. You figure it out first. And I was like, okay. And I was like, and that's why I do Pilates workouts. And he was like, oh, you do Pilates? And I was like, I mean, I don't know. I do whatever I feel like doing, but I think a lot of that is like more Pilates based. And I think what he meant basically, if you didn't understand what that meant, because yeah, it took a moment, is like, you know how going into the workforce is considered sort of like the rat race, like you get on the treadmill and you can't just like get off. Like you can't just, once you're like working, it's not very, I mean, people do it, yes, but it's kind of a rarity. It's not that easy to just say randomly like, actually I don't want to do this anymore, and just like quit and stop doing what you were doing. And he was kind of saying like, you know, if you don't know what you want to do yet, then there's no point of trying to like get into it and get into that cycle that you can't I mean, you could leave it obviously, but like it's a lot harder to leave it than to like take a while, step back and question what you want to do and then hop onto it later, you know? So that's what he meant by that. I don't know if you understood what I said either. You know, we're a complex family, and sometimes the words that come out of our mouths don't make any sense. Anyways, so like that, you know, I knew like when he said that, because initially I think he said that in accordance with something else, which I'll bring up. But when he said that, at first I was like, so you want me to get a job? Like, are you telling me I should go get a job? And he was like, something about the treadmill. And I was like, okay, so is that a yes or a no? But I ultimately knew that it was a no. I knew it was like a, I support that you don't know what you want to do yet, and you shouldn't just like go do something to do it, rather do it because you know that's what you want to do, essentially. Anyways, when I was in high school, I realized I haven't talked a lot about me in high school, and that's because me in high school, that was a dark time, okay? But anyways, we are grown up now and we're really cool and life is just really great and fun and all that. No, literally, if high school me could see my life now, she, Girly Pops would be overjoyed. She would be the happiest girl ever, because high school was rough. High school was so rough, and I didn't know whether it was going to get better. I didn't know whether I was ever going to experience anything good. And now I've experienced a lot of good, and I've had really cool experiences, and she would geek out and she'd be so excited for me. Like, she would be so happy to know that. And also, I know this is going to sound a little conceited, but she would be really happy to know that she ended up becoming pretty, because I had like very poor self-image, no confidence, no self-esteem, like nothing. I like genuinely, this is a whole episode in itself, but a little teaser, I just thought like I was unattractive and that was it. Like, that was my entire life. No one would ever be interested in you. No one would ever think you're attractive. That's it. And that's life. And then I had the post high school glow up, and I feel like I've been glowing up since. And sometimes I look at like me at the beginning of college and I was like, you were pretty, but I'm prettier. As in, like, I just feel like with time, like I get more and more attractive. Like, and it's not even attraction. It's more like I grow into my body. Like, I think I looked so underdeveloped, and I know I look like a minor still, but at least I look pretty, I guess. Anyways, but like, I just looked so underdeveloped when I was in high school, and that was my problem. It wasn't that I wasn't pretty or attractive. Like, I, you know, she had potential, okay? I look at those pictures and I'm like, yeah, that was rough, but like, had potential. And I just didn't realize it at the time. But I think with time, I've just like grown into my body and my face more. And that's how I've like leveled up with time. And I don't know if I'm like fully there yet, or whether it's like, I feel like it's like constant process. Like, I'm not at the end yet, you know? Like, I haven't really hit my peak beauty per se. Maybe I have, but I feel good. I feel good about where I'm at. And I felt good for a good while. So it's like, I'll take it, you know? Anyways, why did I bring that up? I cannot remember. But oh yeah, because high school me would love to know that her life is just so much better. Yeah, so much better. And also, well, so much better, but some things haven't changed, essentially. But when I was in high school, I tried so hard to be the perfect daughter. So insanely hard. I feel like my only like life goal besides getting into a good college, but getting into a good college to be the perfect daughter. If you don't know, both of my parents are scientists. They both have PhDs. My dad has a PhD from Harvard. That has been my entire life. Okay. That's what I've grown up with. Those are the people I looked up to. Those were my examples for what an adult is and what an adult should be. Those were really big shoes to fill. And I was determined to fill them. Okay. Me at 16 years old was like, I'm going to try and get a PhD right now. Because in my mind, I was like, the only way that my parents will ever be proud of me is if I meet their level of success, aka go get a PhD and become a researcher. Like, it was so uncreative, but it was like, I was convinced. Like, I was literally convinced that my parents would consider me a disgrace if I didn't do exactly what they had done. And to be fair, I think there were like certain things in my childhood that had been said that led me to believe that my parents, specifically my dad, again, would only be happy if I did like a certain thing. Like, I was very convinced like it had to be STEM. Like, it had to be STEM, and that's what I had to do, and there was no opportunity to do something creative. Because, for example, one time when I was like 12 years old, or actually, I don't even know when I said this, but anyways, I really wanted to be an interior designer for a really, really long time. And I once told my dad, and he kind of said something like, oh, you'll think of something, or like, you'll figure it out. As in, like, it felt like in that moment, he was like, that's not a real job. Like, you can't do that. I don't know if that's what he actually meant. I don't know if it was just kind of like a, I don't know what it was, especially because now I'm like looking back and I'm like, why did you care so much? Like, it wasn't that big of a deal. But at the time, it was such a big deal for me. Like, not that statement, how I thought of that statement, but just like thinking that I needed to like meet their level of success. Like, that was such a big deal to me. I was like, if I don't do it, like, I will be a failure and my parents will never be proud of me and blah, blah, and the whole thing, right? Like, I don't know. It was a lot of internal pressure that was kind of developed out of external circumstances, as in like, did my parents put that kind of pressure on me? No. My parents weren't really like helicopter parents or parents who were like, you have to do this. Obviously, my parents cared a lot about my education, especially my dad. He wanted to know what I was doing in school. He wanted to know that I was doing well, but like, well didn't have to be like top grades. Like, let's be honest, I didn't have straight A's every single quarter. Like, you know, like, I ended up getting a good GPA and all that and getting like a good SAT score and all that. But it's just like, my dad never was like, you have to be the best. It was more just like, do well and like care about your education in the process. And, you know, and then also like when I started studying for SATs, like, he was very heavily involved trying to like tutor me in the math section and all that. And like, my summer between my junior and senior year, I believe, he like spent a lot of time with me just like trying to like kind of tutor me in the whole thing as I was like studying on my own as well. And so it wasn't exactly external pressure. Like, again, it was never like, and also like, my parents never said like, you have to go to an Ivy League or you have to try and aim for an Ivy League. Like, there was nothing like that either. But I think just in the back of my mind, I always felt like that. I was like, and also I knew that I didn't want to go to an Ivy League, but I was like, I need to get into a good school. Otherwise I'm screwed. You know, it was kind of like a first things first, get into a good school, then go for the PhD, then become that researcher or whatever, you know, like, that was kind of the track that I was on, because I was like, that's the only way to make my parents proud. Again, did they ever like outwardly say that kind of stuff? No. But I think there were certain things where I was like, see, this confirms it. Which, like, did it confirm it or did it not? I don't know. I remember there were points where especially my mom, because again, I felt like the pressure came a lot more from my dad just because he was a lot more involved in my education and cared a lot more about it and sort of like integrated himself in it in different ways, like, as you know, helping me with like SAT stuff or like from time to time asking what my grades were and stuff like that. Like, again, not helicopter parents. My parents definitely weren't helicopter parents, but they were just like curious, which, fair, I would be too in hindsight. But at the time, I remember like it was the scariest thing ever. I was like, my grades are not that great right now, don't check it please. They didn't even have access to my portal. Like, I would have to literally show it to them. And obviously I could have always said like, well, I wouldn't have, because that's the thing. I was trying to be the perfect daughter. Being the perfect daughter also went beyond just like academic stuff, although that was probably like the biggest part of it. But I also was just like a goody two shoes. You know, like, people had literally used that term for me for years. I think people at my school, if I had any reputation, which I don't think I did, like, I literally think I was invisible. But if I had any reputation to people at school, it was that I was like a goody two shoes and just like really quiet, which is ironic because that's not really me. But anyways, things have changed. Okay. Things have changed. And also, like, I knew that that wasn't me, but again, I just like, I think I came off as very quiet, but I was like, guys, I could talk your ear off if you just let me. Like, if you just held a conversation with me for a couple of minutes, like, I will talk your ears off. Oh my God. And it's so ironic that I say that, because what am I doing right now? Talking your ears off. Welcome to my podcast. Who would have thought? Who would have thought the quiet girl had a whole podcast? Yeah. Anyways, so I didn't drink. I didn't really go out. I didn't have much of a, there were like periods of time where I had a little bit more of a social life, but I specifically, like, freshman, sophomore, junior year, senior year, things started to turn around. But by then I think I was like old enough where I was like, okay, I don't care about it as much anymore. And also, once I actually like got into it, I had already submitted all my college applications. So I was like, I can let go a little bit. Like, I don't need to be super like hardcore focused on academics anymore. Like, I can enjoy life. But first 3 years of high school, I was not enjoying life. Okay. Academics were my biggest thing. I didn't really have much of a social life. Didn't have like super close friends at the time too. I kind of went between like friends. I started with certain, well, we're not going to get into my high school situation because it's like, there's so much and so much to uncover. But the point is, I didn't do anything bad. And the other thing is, like, it was to the point where I could literally always tell my parents exactly what my life was like, because there was nothing that they would ever or could disapprove of. Although they found their things. Like, my mom was always like, you have a phone addiction. And I was like, and there are kids out there doing drugs. Like, which one do you want? And why are you getting mad at me for being on my phone right now? You know? Anyways, high school. Love it. If you're in high school right now, I'm so sorry. And just know it gets better. It gets so much better, okay? Like, trust. But again, I'm so sorry. Anyways, so I just was trying to be the perfect daughter. Like, I think everything I did was with this hope that my parents would approve, and like to gain validation from my parents, and that they would approve of what I was doing in life and ultimately feel proud for me. And yeah, like, and it was a dark time in my life too, because it's like, was I prioritizing myself in any way? Absolutely not. Was I prioritizing what I love? Absolutely not. I was fully focused on just trying to gain validation, like academic validation, but also then validation from my parents. And then I guess also kind of like at some point my peers too, because at some point I had friends who were very like hardcore academic, and I was like, I want you guys to think that I'm hardcore academic too. So saying that I'm not a perfect daughter now would have literally sent 16-year-old me into a spiral. Okay. She would be like freaking out. She would have been like, you messed it up for us. Like, what did you do? What did you do? I lived. And I had fun living, so I'm glad I did it. It wasn't worth trying to chase the perfect daughter thing. And I realized that at some point, but it took a really long time to get there. Anyways, so this was me in high school. Then I got into college. And when I first started college, I was kind of living this double life. Like, when I first went away, so when I was first in Hawaii and then LA, so like my freshman year, basically, I was sort of, and I knew this, in my mind, I was like, I'm gonna have to live this double life. Like, I can go have fun when I'm in college and do whatever and like be rebellious, the whole thing. But when I come home, I have to be perfect daughter again. But the problem with that is it's very hard to live the double life. I know people can do it, but I found it very difficult because, like I said, I told my parents a lot about what was going on in my life. And I didn't really shake off that habit once I started being more rebellious and just like living life as I wanted to and like prioritizing myself instead of prioritizing other people's opinions. And so I kind of just like aired out all of my dirty little secrets. And at first it didn't go over very well, not gonna lie. Okay. Like, I will say I was very close with my parents when I was in high school because obviously I told them everything and nothing was bad. So they couldn't get like upset at me. There couldn't be that disconnect. Then when I got into college, basically until like honestly this time last year, I felt very disconnected from my parents and my family. And I think it's like part of me had just like distanced myself from them because I realized over time that if I just like kept including them in my life, which I wanted to, but I recognized that like doing that ultimately harmed me and our relationship. And I don't know. So I was very distant from them for the longest time. And then like, for example, I was in this relationship and I think that also like distanced me even more because then I was putting so much like thought and, you know, in hindsight, first relationship, things you do when you're in a first relationship. But anyways, I think the mix of already pulling back and then all of a sudden having someone else to like focus your energy on and like wanting to focus your energy on them. So you, instead of like continuously fostering the relationships you already have, you you just like foster the one that has just come up, that definitely created more of like a divide. And so, yeah, it wasn't really until like this time last year, it took something like bad happening essentially for me to be pulled back and be like, Girly Pops, your family, like you and your family. And I think everyone felt that in my family, where it was like, okay, we're not going to get mad about like little things anymore. We're not going to like hold, not grudges, but just like, we're not going to let those little things affect how our relationship is with each other, because we've just recognized that sometimes there are bigger things that make it into our lives. And you never know when that bigger thing is going to completely affect how your family works. Cherish the little moments, you know? Anyways, so, but that's kind of like the timeline. So I start going off and I'm like living my fun little life and being more rebellious and the whole thing and reporting back home. Like, I'm pretty sure I told my parents when I had my first kiss. Obviously I don't think I told them everything per se, but I did remain decently open. And I think especially my mom didn't take it very well, at least a lot of the things. Like, for example, like when I started drinking, my mom definitely didn't take that well, because she's always had sort of this like thing against alcohol, and it's based off of how she grew up and sort of like cultural things and things that she witnessed when she was younger. And so she's always had like this kind of thing against it. Not that she doesn't drink, but when she drinks, it's very much like a little cup of wine, like that's it, like that's the only thing she will drink. So I don't think she loved the idea of her daughter all of a sudden like hardcore drinking, because that's the one thing that she was like very against. And so definitely didn't take it well. So stuff like that. And I think also when I like started like engaging with different guys and all that, I don't think she completely understood it. I don't even know what my dad thought of it. Now in hindsight, I'm like, that man probably didn't like that either. But I didn't really, the thing with my dad is like, sometimes I just don't get his opinion on stuff, because he like just will not share. Like when it comes to this kind of stuff, like he usually holds back on even sharing his opinion. So I never know whether he's okay with it or not okay with it, but I can kind of guess that he wasn't particularly okay with it. But I feel like also I tell my mom more stuff than my dad, you know? That's the thing. It's kind of like, it's a little difficult like to tell what he knows and what he doesn't know about me. So I don't know if like I was just going off and being like, yeah, I had my first kiss to my dad, but like definitely told my mom. So I think a lot of that just like made for an uncomfortable situation. And honestly, I didn't really learn my lesson, because I feel like after I first started telling them things and I realized that they weren't taking it as well as I was like hoping they would, like I remember thinking in my mind, I was like, well, at least I'm an adult now. Like at least I waited until I was an adult to do this kind of stuff, right? Like it could have been that I was like a minor just like doing whatever, you know? And also I felt like the things that I was doing weren't that bad, you know? Like I've never done drugs. Yeah, obviously, okay, looking back as like older, wiser, sure. Some of the things I did were like purely rebellious and maybe a little unhinged. Okay, would I go back and, or would I do them now? No, actually I wouldn't do a lot of the stuff I did back then now, but that's because I've learned. But like I think I needed to have that phase in my life to be able to kind of phase out of it and then like realize what I actually enjoy doing, or like things that I enjoy doing and things I don't enjoy doing. And like now I'm kind of like back to more of like a grandmother era, where I'm just like, we don't need to go out and like drink and stay out until like 4 a.m. We don't need to do that kind of stuff. Like I've done it before. I realized I didn't actually really like it. I'm good. I've had the experience. I don't think I'm ever going to care to have the experience again. But you know, I had to have the experience to know, right? And I think that's like, my parents didn't really accept that. I think the other thing is I have a younger sister, and my younger sister is so much younger than me. And I think because of that, they've always been more on her level than mine. So I think obviously like if my, I don't know how old, she was like 13 years old at the time. Like obviously if my 13-year-old sister was doing the things that I was doing, like, well, that would be bad, you know? But I think it was difficult for them to realize like, oh, but she is an adult now, you know, she's a lot older. I don't know. These are just speculations. Like I really don't have answers for that. But this is kind of when I sort of phased out of the like, I need to be the perfect daughter. But I think there was always still like this part of me, this underlying part of me where I was like, but I still feel it a little bit. Like I still feel like I need to, like obviously I wasn't going to go back, but I was like, there's a part of me that feels like I should still be that perfect daughter. And I was kind of hoping I could keep up that image once I went to college, but I talk too much. Are we surprised? No. Yeah. So I talk too much, basically. That was like, I think my biggest problem. Like if I had literally kept my mouth shut, things would have been good. you know? Yeah, no, things would have been good, but I didn't. So things were not good. So anyways, lots of disconnect. And then again, like sophomore year, it was sort of the same thing. It just like, it came to a point where I think it like worsened sophomore year. Like we started to have these like major disagreements about different things and I didn't feel heard or seen. And my parents probably didn't feel the same way. This was like mainly conversations with my mom. It's so weird explaining it because it's not like my parents as a unit. It's more like one or the other that I'm dealing with about certain things. Like some things are more my dad stuff and some things are more of my mom stuff, and this kind of stuff was more of my mom stuff. And yeah, I was not perfect daughtering. I was actually quite the opposite. And to be fair, like looking back, yeah, I mean, again, some of the things I did, they were bold, I will say that. They were very bold, and again, had to experience them. But like, I think even if I had like a conversation with like 18, 19 year old me now, and she was like, I'm about to do this, I would be like, don't do it. Don't do it. Please don't do it. It's not worth it. You know, like it's not worth it. But I did it. So, and now I know. But yeah, I definitely like, I was not perfect daughter. I was like the opposite of perfect daughter. I was rebellious daughter. And I don't know if I really cared at the time. Like, I think I was like just too much in my own head to even care. But I did recognize that like my relationship with my family had just gotten very altered. Like I had such a good relationship and then all of a sudden I didn't. And I don't know how I felt about that. I think definitely at times I felt very frustrated about the whole thing. I was like, can you guys just like understand me? And like, I remember there was this one thing that went down and it just like to this day, well, actually maybe not so much anymore, but like until very recently, it still weighed so heavy on my mind and I could not like let that go. Like I kind of just like held it with me. And I actually finally brought it up to my mom very recently. And I think that finally broke it, where I was like, okay, it's out now. Now she knows how that thing affected me, like how that statement affected me. But yeah, it was kind of that thing. Like we were kind of going to war with each other a little bit. It was not pretty. And then I got into a relationship. And once I got into a relationship, like I didn't care about, well, I mean, I held on to that kind of stuff. You know, when someone will say something to you and you just never forget it, it was kind of like, there was like that type of stuff. Got into this relationship. And at this point, my whole attention went to that relationship. I was like, he likes me. He accepts me as I am. He supports me. So even if my parents aren't necessarily going to be feeling that way, I'm good, because at least there's one person out there that, like, I don't know if that was actually my mindset, but it was just kind of like I didn't care as much. And also, again, like that time in my life was such a blur. So it's so hard for me to be like, oh, this is exactly what my family relationship was like. But like, for example, I remember my mom's birthday. So this was like the summer between my sophomore and junior year. I was living in New York City. I was interning in New York City. I was living with my boyfriend at the time. And my mom and sister came to visit for her birthday / mine, because our birthdays are not on the same day, but her birthday is the day before mine. Like the night before her birthday, I was just like crying to him because of this thing she said, like the thing that I held on to. And I was just like, it just affected me so much. Like, I don't know why it did. Well, I know why it did. But in that moment, I think it was like, I wanted to give her a really good birthday, but I also held on to this and I held that grudge. And I was like, again, like want to give her a good birthday, but I can't get this out of my mind. And it weighs heavy on my head and heart. And I'm just like, you know, it's kind of like pushing me back a little, where I'm like, Girly Pops, I love you, but also this one thing you said is really tearing me apart and you don't even know about it, you know? So like there was like that. So it was like, I had a decent relationship with my family, but it wasn't great. You know, like I think I was just in my own little world with my relationship. And I think with just like having also pulled back from my family with everything that had sort of been going down, and the fact that our relationship wasn't the closest, it was like I knew I wasn't the perfect daughter and I knew I wasn't going to be. I knew that whatever I did, you know, could be disapproved of. And I just like, but I also didn't care enough to try and like go back and be that perfect daughter, because it was just so exhausting and I'd phased out of it. But it definitely like altered the way that I interacted with my family, my parents specifically, not necessarily my sister, but my parents, and just the relationship that we had. And so it was weird. And I think I also had moments where I was like, oh, if I tell them this, they're gonna get mad. Or if I tell them this, they're gonna think this. Like, I just kind of held like these different things that had been said to me so heavily that I was like, I can't. I remember there was another thing where I wish I could detail this, but it's just very, very personal. Something happened and it was one of those things where someone well, I guess it was all fine, but it could have been one of those things where if someone had saved me, someone had saved me. If someone had not saved me, Lord knows what would have happened, you know? But anyways, and this was while I was in that relationship. So like my boyfriend at the time, although he was not in the same place as me, knew about it. And he ultimately ended up doing something. But I think I remember being like, oh, I can't tell my mom. And I didn't feel like I could tell my dad either. I was like, I can't tell them because my mom's going to say this and she's not going to believe me and the whole thing. And eventually my boyfriend at the time actually texted my mom and was like, hey, so this is the situation. I think you need to do something about it. And then she and my sister ended up coming under their own volition, which I was a little surprised about because I was like, you did not need to show up. Actually, I was freaking out. I remember, oh yes, okay. I was freaking out because I was like, my mom's gonna be so mad at me. I literally was freaking out because I was like, I remember when my mom like called me or texted me and was like, hey, like we're gonna be there in 30 minutes. And I was like, oh no. And I started like trying to deep clean my apartment because I was like, she's gonna say something about something here. Like she's going to say something. I was so paranoid that she was just gonna be like upset at me over what had happened. And all was fine. My sister and her came. We had dinner together. It was all good. But just like going into it, I was so paranoid and scared. And I think that was just like how I felt about my family at the time when it came to like deeper issues. Obviously, like trivial things, fine, like could have a conversation with them and be okay. But when it came to talking about things that were a little bit more deeper that I think I could have used their support on, but I felt like they would not support me just based off of how their reactions had been in the past to certain things, that really tore up my relationship with my family. I didn't think I was going to talk about this stuff. I can't lie. I thought this was just going to be about like, oh, first I tried so hard to be a perfect daughter and now I'm not, but it all is well kind of thing. But anyways, we're getting to the good stuff. Okay. There's a happy ending here and I'm grateful for that because sometimes my stories don't really have happy endings. Anyways, around this time last year, a little earlier, but anyways, around this time last year, something happened. I'm questioning whether I should share it because I've always been super cryptic about it. I can't lie. I made a TikTok today about it and I made it in a little bit more, not a joking way, but like in a lighthearted way. You know, when people are like, I cope with humor, kind of that. That's the type of TikTok I made. And I've been debating whether I should post it or not because it kind of like hard launches this like very big thing in my life that I've been kind of like holding back from saying because it's not exactly my thing, but also like I don't, obviously it's something that I'm experiencing in real time. I don't know, because it's like it's difficult when you're a public figure, like you have a public image, but the people in your life don't, and you walk sort of this like very fine line between I want to respect my family and their privacy, and I know that my family isn't the type that like wants to be publicly shown, and like I will always try and avoid that. But there are certain things that have to do with my family that I have experienced that are experiences that I've had that I want to talk about because I, you know, I like talking about the things that I've experienced and the things that I've learned. And there's some things that are just like really big. And I'm like, I don't know whether I should just go for it and be open about it or whether I should just keep it as a private thing. And I don't know how to have the conversation with them either because I think I'm just scared that they're going to be like, no, which obviously I totally respect, like that's what I've been trying to do. But I think in a way it's like, I do want to be able to talk about it because I feel like it could reach a lot of people and maybe help other people feel less alone. But I don't want to like overstep boundaries essentially. So I don't know. Anyways, more cryptic stuff. You can take a little guess in your head, I guess, if you want. But around this time last year, something happened. I say something happened, but it's still happening. Like it's not gone away per se. That was kind of like the start of it. And that was also as of yet the worst of it. You never know. It's one of those things that could change at any moment. But this thing happened. And I think that's when we all realize that life is so precious. And also the people around you are so precious. And in that moment, I think a lot of the like small things that we like maybe bickered about or just like didn't agree with and all that just kind of went out the window because we realized like, you know, maybe one day that's not even a thing that you can do. Like that's not a thing that could be possible. So it's like savor the moment and don't care too much about it. And I think the other thing is also like my sister started growing up too, like becoming a teenager. I don't know. I just feel like there's just been this like whole switch in my relationship with my family and also the way my family takes things. Like I feel like my mom takes things so much better now than she did back then. Like she is one of us. She's one of the girly pops. She loves talking about things. Like she takes things so well now. And it is like night and day from how she was before this event. I think my dad also in his own regard has like become more open about things and just more okay with it. And I don't know if like he was always like that or whether this is also a more recent thing, but I think just as a whole, like as a family unit, we've just like become more understanding of each other and kind of realize that it's important to just cherish having each other regardless of whether, you know, like, and so basically since then, and then okay. And then I went through my breakup and then, you know, at first, like, okay, I was still in contact with him and all that. But then when I went no contact, I remember kind of thinking to myself, like at this point, I had a pretty good relationship with my family and things were definitely on the upward, like a lot. But at that time, I still kind of thought like, oh, you know, I'm going to go through this like no contact stuff and my parents are just not going to understand. I guess I just like failed to consider that. Yeah, maybe they've experienced that too. But I think I really was just like, oh, they're not going to understand. And so there's no point in even trying to involve them in or trying to explain it to them and all that. But then I went no contact and then I did like try and explain a little bit with kind of the expectation that they would just be like, what? Like, why do you even care? You know? And they ended up being just, they ended up being there for me in the weird way that they show up. Like, it's not the way that you would expect someone to show up, but like they showed up. And in that moment, I felt the love and I felt the understanding from them and I felt the support. And even though maybe they didn't completely understand why I was sticking a candle into a cake pop or asking them for a cake pop to stick a candle in, you know, they still did it. Like the cake pop, well, there was actually two, fun fact. If you guys know about my no contact videos, there was one cake pop and then there was another cake pop. And this happened because I was standing in the kitchen one night and I was like, I really want a cake pop to celebrate my 1 week. And of course I was explaining it to my parents at the moment. You know, my dad was like, oh, has it been hard? And I was like, well, yeah, obviously it's been hard. And he was like, oh, okay. And then he was like asking me some questions about it. And my mom and dad were standing in the room with me at this current moment as I was explaining it. So I was like, yeah, I'd really like a cake pop. And so my dad was like, okay, which one do you want? So like we literally went on the Starbucks website. I was like, I want this one. He was like, okay, I'm gonna try and go to work tomorrow and like, because like they have Starbucks's like near their work. And so he was like, I'll try and get one for you. And I was like, thank you. But my mom was there too, and she didn't say she was gonna get me one, but she actually ended up coming home first with a cake pop. And then my dad came home, well, I didn't see him, I think I went to bed already, but he ended up coming back, and then the next day he presented me with a cake pop. So I ended up having two cake pops, and the one where I stick the candle is the one that my mom got me, and then I stuck another candle and another cake pop the day after, and that was the one my dad got me. And that was like that moment where I was just like, see, they get it. Even if they don't necessarily get it, they do get it. And they're here for me. And this is family. In that moment, it really did solidify to me that like all I really needed was my family. Because I think a big part of it was like when I was going no contact, I was so scared that I would be so alone and I wouldn't have anyone anymore. Because I felt like my ex-boyfriend was like the only person who understood me, the only person who would always be there for me, like the whole thing. And I just like failed to consider that like I have a family and I'm good. And since then, it's always been like that. I'm like, regardless, like at least I have my family and I am grateful for that. And I feel like the relationship that we've had just has gotten stronger and stronger over time. And we're in a really good place. And it's like, it's not anymore like, oh, I have to cover up things either. It's like, I can talk freely about my experiences. The way that my mom has gotten like so much more open about like guys and stuff like that. Like even my sister, you know, has like talked about her guy stuff. And my mom has been like interested in it. Like I could not have done that when I was 16 years old. Okay. My mom would have freaked out if I would have been like, oh yeah, there's this guy, you know, but she's really open about it. When I had my holiday fling, she was like all over it. She was always asking questions about him. She wanted to meet him, the whole thing. I was like, girly pops, it's a guy that I'm probably not going to date. And she was like, okay, Anne, let's meet him. Let's see this man. Like I want to know more about him. So, you know, stuff like that. And also just like, to be fair, I guess in a way there is a part of me that has gone back to being kind of perfect daughter. Like for example, the drinking thing, like I don't drink anymore. And my mom has always expressed happiness for that in a way. Like I think when I was sober, I did a sober period in my junior year of college. And I remember when that was a thing. And then when I stopped doing that sober period and I started drinking again, my mom was like, I thought you didn't drink. And I was like, Well, no, I do. We're back. But I think, you know, like, for example, like that one, alcohol has always just been a touchy subject for her. So I think she's like glad that I am sober. But also, if I were to be like, oh, I'm going to have a little glass of red wine, I don't think she would like freak out, you know? Like, for example, when we were in Germany, I definitely was offered alcohol a couple of times. And my mom even was like, there was like beer in the house. It's called Radler. It's a mix between, it's like a lemonade with beer. It's really good. I think it's lemonade. It's something like that. It's like lemonade with beer. And it's a lovely little German specialty. And it's really good. But I didn't drink it because I don't drink. But like, she even was like, if you girls want to try it, like, you can. And I was like, Mom, I don't drink alcohol. And she was like, okay, I'm just saying. So it's like stuff like that, you know, like, I don't know if she would have been, my parents were never like, alcohol is off limits per se. But I think when it came to like hardcore drinking, that was like a no. Like an absolute no. But if it's like a little sip here, like, okay, sure. Anyways, so stuff like that. I think we've just all become very open and understanding. And I don't know, things have just changed around for the better. And then as I have basically like since the beginning of the school year, so like let's go back August, September, when I was starting up college again and I was starting my senior year and I kind of knew like, okay, this is the last year. And everyone knows that, you know, it's like everyone in my family was like, last year, like after this, you kind of move on to the next thing. What is the next thing? We don't know. My dad said something along the lines is like, don't worry too much about the future right now, enjoy the present. You'll figure it out later on. And like since then, my parents have been, it's funny because you know how I say like, oh, well, I'm just figuring it out and I'm good with that. And I'm good with pursuing the passion projects. And like, that's what I want to do. And that's the only thing I want to do. I think the reason why I really feel that way is because I know I have my parents' support. I know that they support me in what I'm doing. And if they didn't, I definitely think I would feel differently because ultimately I am a people pleaser. And ultimately I still do, you know, maybe less so, but I still do try and appease to my parents from time to time because ultimately like they have given me the life that I have and I'm so grateful and privileged and all that, but it's their work, not mine. And so I value their opinion on stuff. I value, you know, their take on stuff and all that. And obviously like ultimately in a way I'm going to do for me, but if my parents weren't fully supportive of me doing for me at this current moment in my life, I might not be doing that. You know, like I might not be doing that. It's a little bit of a weird thing because when I was in a relationship, I was dating someone who ultimately was very much kind of like manipulated by his family. Like they very much took him. It was just, I didn't like the way that they like treated him because they really like kind of had like a grip on him and were like manipulating him into like choosing certain things that they wanted for him. And he didn't even realize it. And I tried so hard to try and like kind of not save him, but just like help him out and just like be there and be a more neutral source. Cause I feel like when you're being manipulated, it's so hard. And like, I wanted to be that neutral source for him. But I think ultimately he fully believed that they had like his best interest in mind where I was like, okay, respectfully, like I'm not trying to like take you away from your family, but just like as an outsider perspective, like that's not, they don't have your best interest in mind. And after that, I was so kind of paranoid about falling into that same situation because I was like, I just was preaching all of this. And like, now I'm checking myself and I'm checking my family situation. I'm like, am I being manipulated? And so I would have moments where, and again, I think it's the way my dad says stuff, but it's like, sometimes he'll say stuff and I'm like, are you taking something back? Because the family situation that I'm talking about was like one of those family situations where they would say something and then they would take it back. That was like one form of manipulation. And I was like, are you taking this back? Like, are you doing the same thing that I just watched someone else experience that I was like super against and trying to help them like avoid? So I definitely spent a lot of time like checking my family relationship out of that relationship and just being a little paranoid and all that. And so I still have my moments sometimes where I'm like, are you saying that because you don't want me to do it? Or are you, what is it? But I think I have a good family relationship. Okay. Like my parents have absolutely supported me through so much and they have given me such a beautiful life and they have allowed me to, especially now, like this is very much like as I've gone into college, but also like more specifically in the past year, they've been very supportive in their way in the things that I did. Like, for example, last year when I decided I wanted to go back to UCLA, like they could have been, I mean, I think honestly, my dad was a little bit over the moon because he was like, yay, she's going back to UCLA. But like, you know, they could have been upset about it, but rather, you know, my dad was like, well, if you think that's the best thing for your education, we'll support you, you know, without being like, girly pops, you just changed your mind again. Like, are you kidding me? You know, like it was very much just like support, as in like, whatever you choose, we will be here and we will support you. And that's the best feeling ever. Because when I was in high school, I thought I had to do this very specific track for them to continuously support me and for them to be proud of me. And as I got into college and I started to do more of what I wanted to do, I realized that no, that was not it. They just wanted the best for me, and they always have and they always will. And if they recognize that something is the best for me, they will come to terms with it and they will support it. And that's, I think, why they support me now in doing something that is so different from everyone else. Am I the perfect daughter right now? No. If I was the perfect daughter, I would have a job lined up at Google or Microsoft or something like that, and they could tell everyone and everyone would be like, oh my God, your daughter's so cool, the whole thing. I mean, I don't know if that's like, or I would literally be going off to get my PhD right now so that I could become a researcher. I think if I were perfect daughter by not necessarily their standards, but some set standard out there, that's what I would be doing. But instead, I am doing something quite different. And my parents have been insanely supportive of that. And it's allowed me to not be the perfect daughter. But I think with not being the perfect daughter, I've recognized how supportive my parents actually are and how little it has to do with trying to match their level of success or to be like them, but rather being my own person and finding my own way. And I don't know whether it was like they became more open with that with time. You know, obviously maybe they were a lot more closed off when I was in high school and when I started college and stuff like that, and they did think more traditionally. I don't know whether they've opened their mind to things or whether they were like this all along, but I just perceived it differently. Who knows? But the point is, there's a happy ending. The happy ending is that they support me in doing what I love as I figure out what I want to do next. And for that, I am ever grateful. And so no, I'm not the perfect daughter. I spend 2 hours each day standing in my mom's bathroom talking to my phone. My mom has been conditioned to just not use her bathroom anymore. Why I say this? Because today I was in the bathroom, I was filming my little TikToks, and at some point my dad comes around and I don't know what he was saying. Like, he was literally talking gibberish and I was like, wait, what? And so I was like, oh, I can leave the bathroom. And then he was like, where's your mother? And I was like, probably like at her desk or something like that. And I look and she's not there. And I was like, where is my mother? My mother was in my bathroom. She didn't even bother to ask whether she could use her own bathroom. She just knew that I was talking to my phone and she just went to the other bathroom and didn't bother me. And I was like, girl, I was like, I could have left the bathroom. It was the same thing as yesterday. Like, she was getting ready for work, and again, I was in her bathroom. I know, I wish there was a better place to do it, but like, her bathroom has, it's a good place. If no one's home, then I have another location. But the problem is, if someone's home, like, I don't want them to hear me talking to my phone. Also, it's going to be bothersome to them too. So anyways, yesterday she's like getting ready and I thought she was like done getting ready, but she wasn't. And so I was in the bathroom doing my little TikToks. And then at some point she like knocks on the door and I was like, do you want to come into the bathroom? She was like, I'm just getting ready. And I was like, okay, like, you, do you want to do your makeup in here? And she was like, no, I'll just take the makeup. And I was like, no, like, you can, you're leaving soon. Like, I'll come back. She was like, no, just give me the makeup. And I was like, okay, girl, like, you can, it's okay. Like, I'm not trying to overtake your bathroom. I'm just taking it if it's available. But if it's not available, like, you can have it back. It is your bathroom ultimately. And it's like this little stuff. Like, do I think my parents understand me talking to my phone? No, I don't think they understand it. I think they're utterly confused, but they are supportive. They are really crazy supportive, and it's kind of weird. It's actually kind of weird. It was the same way as when I was, I don't know if I mentioned this, when I was in, I don't think I did actually, when I was in Germany, my mom, you know, because obviously she was like, yeah, Sophia just finished college. And then obviously people would be like, so what's she doing? And my mom was just like, talking up my like podcast and my videos and stuff like that. She's like, you know, she does, obviously in German, okay, but I'm not gonna recreate it for you guys. She was like, you know, Sophia does very professional podcast. And I was sitting there and I was like, literally, what are you talking about? I just talk into a microphone it's not that professional. And she was like really talking it up, and she's like, and she makes her videos and all that. And I was like, wow, because I'd never heard her talk about the stuff that I do. And the way she was saying it was like with so much pride, like, wow, Sophia does all this stuff. And like people were like, oh, wow. And I was like, girl, I literally talk to my phone. why are we speaking about someone talking to their phone with so much pride? But it's like the best feeling ever. Like, it's such a good feeling. It's such a good feeling to know that like they support me in this, because it's so unconventional. It's so different from what I thought they would ever be okay with. And yet there's so much support, and they show it in their silly little way. And I just like so appreciate that. And it's such a good feeling, especially after trying so hard to be that perfect daughter, to know that I am not that perfect daughter. Okay. I talk to my phone. Who wants that for a daughter? I don't know. And yet in my parents' eyes, I'm good enough for their love and understanding and support, even if it doesn't make any sense to them. Best feeling ever. It's night and day from what I thought when I was in high school to what I think now, or understand now, I guess. It's not even thinking, it's understanding. Same thing with my dad today. Like, he was like, oh, taking a break? And I was like, yeah, I just finished my podcast episode for today. And he was like, oh, okay. He was like, how many have you done so far? I was like, this is 31. And he was like, wow, you're really keeping at it. And I was like, yeah, I mean, that's the goal, like just gonna keep doing it. And then he was like, so, you know, are people listening? And I was like, yeah, I just hit like 100 plus followers on Spotify. And then I was like, I have like 2,500 listens. And he was like, oh, okay, about 100 per episode. And I was like, yeah, about. And he was like, okay. And I was like, see, you know, like they may not completely understand it, but I think they understand a little. They understand enough to be able to support it. And that's an amazing feeling. So yeah, but it was funny, like the other day, my dad was asking me about sort of a friend, longtime college friend, although I never know whether to call him a friend or not, because our relationship is so weird. And it's just taken such a journey. Anyways, he was like, oh, what is he doing after college? And I was like, oh, he has a job lined up, like from his summer internship return offer. And then he was asking me some more questions. And I was like, yeah, I'm not completely sure what role he has and all that, but I think it's like a tech, like finance, something like that. And my dad says, this is the line that went with the treadmill statement. He was like, well, at least he has it figured out. And I was like, oh, are you saying that I should have it figured out? Is this the way you're like subtly saying that I should go figure it out right now, like go get a job? And then he said the treadmill thing, and I was like, okay, I think you're fine. But yeah, no, I think I've realized that they support me. Obviously, I know this is not a forever thing, in the sense that like I think eventually they would like me to have something figured out, something lucrative and substantial and decently accomplished. But for now, they understand just like that phase of just like not really knowing what you're doing. And they are very supportive. And both of them have expressed kind of this like understanding that, okay, for now, you're just going to go figure it out. Well, for now, you're going to do what you want to do and also like figure it out. And you know, I think that I don't know if they like completely believe that there's a possibility that something could come out of the things that I'm doing right now. But I think that they understand that there could be that possibility. And if it doesn't work out, that there's something else out there, and that's all good and well. And it's just a matter of time to figure out what comes next. And that's kind of the way that I view it too. I mean, obviously, I think my thoughts are heavily influenced by them, which again, try to keep myself in check. But I know it's in the sense that like knowing that I have their support lets me think more freely about it and be more accepting of what I'm doing. Because I feel like societally, there is a lot of pressure to just like figure it out and to like do the next big thing, especially like when you're graduating from like a top university, and this entire time you've always been like an overachiever, and you've always sought out to be an overachiever and to do great things. It's like at some point you're like, does it die down? Or it feels like you're kind of on a track, like do well in high school, get into a good college, do well in college, get a good job, then work up the ladder. Like that feels like what you're supposed to do, or like go to grad school and then get a good job. It feels like that's what you're supposed to do, and you're supposed to be constantly leveling up. And there's like not really any room to just like sit and ponder for a while. Like you don't hear about that as much. And that's what I'm doing. And I feel like sometimes like, yeah, I do get in my head where I'm like, everyone else just has it figured out. I mean, obviously no one has it figured out, but the point is like, okay, everyone else just has their little job lined up and they're doing these amazing things after college and the brand names, you know, company names. And you're like, oh my God, you are working at JP Morgan. Wow. Do you know how hard it is to get a job at JP Morgan? And I feel like you're expected to just constantly be doing great things and to be accomplishing great things. And right now I'm telling myself, no, I want to accomplish things for me, not societally considered great things. But I can't help but like feel sometimes as if I'm doing it all wrong, you know, because I'm doing something completely different. And that's where my parents come in and are like, girly pops, you do you. We are here for you. And I'm like, okay, I feel good now. Okay, I feel good. I may not be doing what everyone else is doing, but I feel good because my parents support me. And ultimately, that is the only opinion that matters in my mind because they have given me the life that I have. And if they support me in the life that I want to live, that's all that matters. Has society given me the life that I have? No, not necessarily. I mean, I guess in some way, obviously, but like it's like ultimately like the only people's opinions that really matter are my family, in my opinion. And in a way, it's always been like that. I haven't really sought out like outside validation. So anyways, that's my little story about trying to be a perfect daughter and then not being a perfect daughter, but it feels good to be where I'm at. And I was kind of thinking about it today, I think somewhere in the midst of filming TikToks in the bathroom and then trying to film a TikTok in the kitchen and having a conversation with my dad about my podcast stuff. Somewhere between all of that, I had this like moment where I was like, I am not the perfect daughter and I'm perfectly okay with that. And that is so ironic given where I've been before, but it feels good. And I'm lucky to be in this position. And I think one thing to understand is sometimes we think that our parents expect so much of us, but the reality is that's actually not the situation. Ultimately, the parents just want what's best for you. And sometimes they may have a specific image of what that is, but that's not necessarily what you're going for. But ultimately, they may come around to it. You know, it's not, obviously, sometimes our parents are set in their ways, but that doesn't mean that they can't change the way that they think about things. And sometimes it takes time for them to come around, or sometimes it takes them just realizing how much you care about something for them to come around to it. Maybe it's not in their nature to understand that, but I think if, you know, your parents care about you and they want what's best for you, they'll ultimately come around and understand, unless it's obviously not good for you. Like, I think in a way, parents know best, not with everything, but with a lot of things, because they've lived through so many experiences. And I feel like we fail to consider that, you know, like a lot of the things that we're experiencing for the first time, our parents have actually experienced before. And we don't think about it because we don't necessarily hear those stories. But it's like, in a way, they do know better because they've been in that position before, and they've experienced it before, and they've had their own life lessons that they've learned from those experiences that they carry with them now. And that's why sometimes they're very like stringent about things, or they have these like specific opinions on things. It's usually like nothing to do with you in a way. It has more to do with like the experiences they've had and like what they've learned from those experiences, and now they're just trying to protect you. And I think, again, if your parents want the best for you, they also will try their hardest to protect you from the bad out there in the world. And sometimes it's hard for them to realize that you have to have your own experiences to learn about what's bad and what's good out there in the world. And they also can't necessarily protect you from everything. And I think that's a hard lesson for them to learn. And as you're growing into adulthood, it takes a while for them to transition and realize, okay, I can't be there for them all the time, or I can't always like protect them from everything. Instead, let me just be here as like a hand to hold, you know, or like a hug to give if they ever need it. Sometimes it takes parents a really long time to get there. Sometimes, you know, they get it super quickly. But I think just be understanding that they're people too. They've had their experiences as well. And many times it's not because they like hate you, or they expect so much of you, or they're disappointed in you, or, you know, whatever it is. Many times they really just want the best for you, but it's difficult for them to express that in the way that's right, because they're so used to something else. They're so used to being in the set way, and it's going to take them time. And maybe they never come around to it, but maybe they do. But I think trusting ultimately that your parents have, even if they may be like, okay, I'm saying this and now I'm thinking about that story I just told about being manipulated by your parents. And in that situation, I'm like, I don't know. Like, I know, again, probably trying to protect their little baby boy, like youngest child, whatever, but that's not a great example. Can't lie. I wouldn't use that example. But like in my case, I truly believe it's like my parents have always wanted the best for me, and they've tried to demonstrate that as best as possible. And sometimes it doesn't come out in the best way. Sometimes it comes out in ways that hurt me a little bit, or, you know, make me retract a little bit. But as a whole, I understand, especially looking back in hindsight, as I've like gotten the full picture of it, I understand where they were coming from. I understand that no one is perfect. They are not perfect people. Trial and error for them as well, just as life has been trial and error for me. And ultimately, we figured something out that works out for our family, and that is great, but it took some time to get there, and that's totally normal. I mean, I remember once seeing this phrase where it's like, your parents are experiencing life for the first time as well, just as you are. So it is their first time being parents. They're not going to be perfect. They're going to mess up. And just in the way that when we are parents, we're going to mess up too. We are not going to be perfect parents. We're going to maybe try our best. I'm sure that my parents tried their best to be perfect parents. Were they perfect parents? No, I think they did really good. I'm like amazed. You know, I think I turned out really good. Maybe that's like the ego speaking, but I think they did a really good job in raising me and providing me with values and supporting me through life and just kind of the way that they've chosen to like parent me and be my parents. I think they did an amazing job ultimately. And I'm ever grateful because I live the most amazing life because of them. But they've had to learn as they go as well. And so, no, they're not going to be perfect, and that's okay. I think we just need to give each other a little bit more grace. It's very easy to just like be in your mind and be like, oh, but this is how I feel, and this is how something has affected me, and now I'm going to hold this grudge, or I'm just going to feel this way, or I'm going to think this thing. But we have to recognize that no one is perfect, and sometimes people mess up. And if we can recognize that as a whole, our parents generally want the best for us, even though they may have screwed up in one way or another, or something didn't work out as maybe they would have liked it to, doesn't mean that they don't care about you. And doesn't mean that they don't care about what's best for you. And also doesn't mean that they don't support you in a sense. You know, I think sometimes it's hard for them to like express that they feel pride for you, especially when maybe you're not meeting that expectation that you think that they have for you, like that standard. I mean, just thinking again of like Asian parents, it's like, I feel like there's just this common standard for Asian parents, maybe not all Asian parents, but a lot of them, I think at least stereotype for Asian parents that they expect their kids to go to an Ivy League. How many of their kids actually go to an Ivy League? Not that many. You know, it's very hard to get into an Ivy League these days. And so not everyone's accomplishing it. I don't think that means that your parents aren't proud of you. Okay. I don't think that's it. I think maybe, okay, they had this expectation for you. They had this standard for you. And it's going to maybe take them a hot second to come around and be like, okay, she or he, my child did not exactly meet that standard, but you know what? They're doing this instead. And that's amazing as well. Sometimes it just takes them time to kind of reprogram the way that they think. But that doesn't mean that they're not proud. Think about when your parents are going to be at your college graduation. Maybe they have been at your college graduation already. In that moment, they are going to feel so much pride for you. Even if maybe they don't express it outward, know that they are so proud of you in that moment. I know that my parents are going to be proud of me, even if they don't say it. My mom will say it, but my dad, I don't know. He'll probably pat me on the back and be like, well, you finished college. Good job, or something like that. You know, like very non-emotional, but I know in that moment that he will be proud of me. And I know that he is proud of me for getting through college, even if he's not saying those words out loud. So yeah. Now, obviously, if you were in a special family situation where it's clearly like, I don't know about that one, that's a very different circumstance. But if it's just a situation of no one's perfect, and sometimes it's difficult to meet eye to eye on certain things, trust that your parents do care about you and they do have your best interest in mind. And sometimes that may look different from what you think your best interest is, but that doesn't mean that they aren't going to come around, or maybe you'll come around to their thing either. Like, that's the thing. Sometimes it's just about meeting in the middle, or recognizing that actually your best interest is not your best interest and they're right, or vice versa, you know, like something like that. It's not like you're always right and they're always wrong, or they're always right and you're always wrong. It's a mix of things. And yeah, so this is an ode to my parents. I love you guys. Even though you don't listen to my podcast episodes, I think, but you are amazing people. You are amazing people. And I am in awe of everything that you've accomplished and the most amazing life that you've given me, and the way that you have proven time and time again that you love me so much. Even though I have never heard those words come out of my dad's mouth before, I know he has so much love for me. Actually, talking about that first relationship, I remember when I told him that I'd never heard my dad say the words I love you before, he was like so shocked. And he was like, so you're, and actually there was another person too, I think that I dated, who said the same thing. He was like, oh, your dad's never said I love you before. And I was like, no, but I know he loves me. And he was like, but he never said it. And I was like, yeah, because he shows love in other ways. I'm sorry, I would rather take what I've gotten as a declaration of love from my dad than the words I love you. I would take it any day over the words words I love you. I don't need the words I love you, but the love that I've been given is priceless. Priceless. So I love my non-affectionate father and my affectionate, but also sometimes not. No, my mom's affectionate. So I love my parents, regardless of how they show their love. I appreciate it because the love that they give me has powered me through life. It has given me the most amazing life. It allows me to sit where I am right now and to be the person that I am. And if I didn't have that love from them, I don't know what my life would look like. So, and I know I'm insanely privileged for that too. Like, I am so privileged to have such amazing parents. And although I didn't exactly choose to be born, I'm grateful that they chose for me to be born. So yeah. Anyways, I don't know what this episode was, but I think some people out there are going to understand, okay? Because I think if you come from a similar family situation to me, if some of the things that I like talked about, the way that I interact with my parents and stuff like that resonated to you, you will understand what I'm talking about, okay? You will understand. And I think we will all find a little bit of a common ground here. And I do think that I have listeners out there who come from a similar-ish family situation to me. Maybe not all of us, but at least some of us. And this is for us. This is our moment to connect over something that is something I didn't really think I was going to talk about, but is very different from the episodes I usually do. And if you relate, I would actually really, really love if you sent me a DM and just like told me like, oh, I totally relate to your episode, or like, I understand what you're talking about. Like, I have a family situation like that one, because I just want to know, like, I'm very curious to see whether other people out there who understand what I'm talking about. Cause like I said, I feel like there are going to be other people who feel that way, but I've never like met people really in my personal life who, I don't know, I mean, maybe I have, but we just like haven't really talked about it. But I feel like I've never like had a conversation like this with someone in my life and we were like, yes, we have the same type of family. Actually, no, maybe I have. Never mind, I take that back. But the point is, it's nice to know that there are other people out there who have a similar family situation, because I feel like I've always had to kind of be like, yeah, my family's a little strange, but no, like, I think my family's perfect. And I think we're not normal, but in the best way possible. I love that we're unique. I love that we're not even weird, but just unique and different. And the way that we show love is very different from, I guess, maybe the more traditional way of showing love. When I think traditional, I just think of like American way. Like, now I'm comparing us to American families. And yeah, we are definitely very different, but there are so many factors that play into that. And I'm happy. Like, having sort of had more of an experience of like what an American family kind of looks like from having dated someone from a purely American family, I'm just like, I don't, but I've met American families where I was like, you have a really nice family situation too. So like, I don't know, I've had mixed experiences with these family situations. So I'm not sure. But I think all family situations are beautiful if they're good ones. And I'm very happy with my family situation. And I think if you reflect on yours and maybe not necessarily feeling it just like right in this moment, you may consider it to be, it took me a while to get there. I can't lie. I feel like for so long, I was kind of like apologetic about my family situation because I was like, we're so different from everyone else. But I love that. Like, I truly love that. And I've realized that it's been amazing. So anyways, okay, that is today's episode. If you find yourself in a position that I talked about, like if you are in one of the phases that I used to be in terms of like being the perfect child, being the perfect daughter, know that it does get better. And also try and give yourself some grace, because I think that there are moments that we put so much pressure on ourselves to try and be the best because we think that's what other people expect from us. And the reality is, okay, yes, maybe they have some expectation, but it probably is not as much as we play it up to be in our mind. It is so easy to put that much pressure in our mind when really that pressure doesn't exist externally, you know? Like, maybe there's some pressure, but not that much pressure. Obviously, every family situation is different, so I can't speak for every family situation. And sure, if maybe you have more like helicopter parents, then yes, there is a lot more external pressure than internal pressure. But if you have a family situation like mine, it might just be you. And not just you, but like, it might just like be more of an internal thing. And give yourself grace. Give yourself grace. And also know that family situations can get better. If you have a rough relationship with your family right now, or it's not in the greatest place, that doesn't have to be a forever thing. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes it takes for something to happen for you guys to find a common ground where those relationships really strengthen and become really good. So, you know, and I don't know, like, I don't know if I can say like our family relationships are going to be amazing forever, or whether we're going to have other periods in the future where, you know, sometimes we're a little bit more disconnected, or we disagree with each other a little bit more, and there's more of this like disconnect between the members of our family, or whether, you know, we'll always manage to be close. Who knows? But I definitely think that recent events have definitely made it very clear that we are going to be sticking to this family situation for a good while now. So yeah. Anyways, thank you so much for listening, and cheers to not being perfect children, because no one's perfect. Neither are your parents. And it's okay to choose yourself. Like, it is okay to choose yourself, even if it doesn't feel that way. You are worthy of choosing yourself. And if your parents really do have your best interest in mind, they will understand your need to choose yourself. So yeah, thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you liked it. I would love if you follow me on whatever streaming platform you're listening to me on. And of course, message me if you related to this episode, because I love knowing. And I will see you guys in my episode next week. Bye. Love you all.